Joshua chapter 10. We read Psalm 2 for our scripture reading because, as I said just a moment ago, this perfectly sets forth the message of this text. Psalm 2 perfectly sets forth this message. The question there was, why do the heathen rage? Why do the heathen rage? Why would heathen man be so foolish as to rage against the Almighty? Why would man do that? It said, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. But it said, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The message of warning is, kiss the Son, lest He be angry. That's the message of warning. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Man thinks he's a little king on this earth, and he doesn't want God to rule over him. So he gets angry with God, and he rages against God. But man's anger is so pitiful compared to the anger of the Almighty. It's so pitiful. The Scripture says, the Lord said, He is angry with the wicked every day. Isn't that right? Man's anger is so pitiful, so puny compared to the anger of God Almighty. And the warning of Psalm 2 and the warning of this text is, if we don't bow down and kiss the feet of the Son of God, if we don't acknowledge Him to be Lord of all and beg Him for mercy, we're going to perish in the way. That's how Psalm 2 ended. And that's what will happen to us. We'll perish in the way. Now, here in Joshua, I want to look at this entire account. And I'm going to try to make this not laborious. Okay, so we're going to move around a little bit and I'm going to tell you what's going on. And maybe the Lord will make this a blessing to us. Joshua 10, verse 1 says, now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. You remember Gibeon, this city, Gibeon, some representatives went to Joshua and they disguised themselves. You remember that? They put on these old torn clothes and these worn out shoes, and they grabbed some dry moldy bread and their wine. They didn't use bottles. They had flagons, these leather pouches. They were ripped, and they came and they pleaded for mercy through a covenant. They pleaded for mercy with Joshua. Every single soul that goes to the Lord Jesus Christ begging for mercy is going to find it. Every single soul. I cannot find one account in this scripture where somebody went to the Lord Jesus Christ begging for mercy and didn't receive it. I can't find one account in this scripture where a man went to anybody, and that's a picture of Christ, begging for mercy and did not receive it. That's what Gibeon did, and that's what they got. Well, all of these other kings heard about Gibeon doing this. And verse 2 says, they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men whereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoam, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me and help me that we may smite Gibeon. Let's go kill Gibeon. Let's all get together and kill him. He went on to say, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, the kings of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their host, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. Now, I love this. I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to come back to it, okay? I'm going to read this to you. But this is what Gibeon did, and we can put ourselves in the place of Gibeon. And we can see our relationship to our captain, the one who promised his covenant to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is just wonderful. Verse 6, all these kings are coming. Verse 6, the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. Now we're going to come right back to that. We're going to see what Joshua did for these no good rebels, enemy. Okay, we're going to see what he did. But let me show you ultimately what Joshua did. While they were slaughtering these armies, they cried, help us, and here he came. And they started slaughtering. They started slaughtering five kings, five nations. While they were slaughtering the armies, those kings ran and hid in a cave. Verse 16 says, Joshua 10, verse 16, but these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. So Joshua said, cover the mouth of the cave with rocks. Let's finish killing everybody, and then we'll come back and get them. And that's what they did. All right, verse 22 right here says, then said Joshua, they went and slaughtered all the armies, and then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. Verse 26, and afterward, Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees, cast them into the cave where they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this day. And then at that point, Joshua continued on. Verse 28 tells us he took Makeda and smote it. Verse 29 says he left Makeda and he went to Libna and he smote it. Verse 31 says he went to Lachish and he smote it. Verse 33 says, then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people until he had left him none remaining. And he kept going and he kept going and he kept going. Verse 40 says, so Joshua smote all the country of the hills and of the south and of the vale and of the springs and all her kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed. If it breathed, Joshua killed it, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. If we are in the covenant of His grace, if we are in the covenant of His promise, we're safe. I mean, we're safe. All right, now watch this. It started out with one king going to war with Israel. As we've been going through this book, one king went to war with Israel. Then a couple kings went to war with Israel. That was five kings right there. Now watch this. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, heard about these five kings and what happened, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Akshaph, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains, a bunch of kings up there, and to the kings of the plains south of Chinnereth, and to the kings in the valley, and the kings in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east, there was a bunch of kings in the land of Canaan, and on the west, and to the Amorite, there was a bunch of kings in there, and to the Hittite, a bunch of kings in there, and the Perizzite and the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their host with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude. You can't imagine how big this army was. He said it's as many as the sand on the seashore. Started coming out to fight with Israel. They had horses and chariots, very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. Why on this earth would you do that? Why would you do that? The scripture says, don't put your trust in men. Isn't that what it says? Don't put your trust in horses. Don't put your trust in chariots. Don't put your trust in numbers. Why would any man foolishly go to war with Joshua? People say, I'm not at war with him. If we do not bow to the commandment of his will and his word, if we do not kiss the Son, that's his commandment, isn't it? Kiss the Son. If we do not kiss the Son, lest he be angry, then we are his enemy. If we don't beg for forgiveness, repentance, mercy, then we are by nature his enemy. And there's only one end for us. We're going to perish in the way. That's it. Now, verse 6, the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up, all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hold their horses, and you're going to burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. This number that is like the sand of the seashore. They fell upon them. Verse 8, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon and unto Mizrephoth-Maim and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them until they left them none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hoed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. Now, verse 14 says, and all the spoil of these cities and the cattle the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves, but every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. Now, verse 15 says, as the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. As God said to Moses, this is what I demand. This is my law. Moses, the law, said that to Christ, and that's what Christ did. Joshua did it. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Every jot, every tittle that was commanded in the law of Moses, Joshua fulfilled it. And that's what Christ did. That's what Christ did when he came. He fulfilled every bit of it. Verse 23 says, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their division by their tribes, and the land rested from war. That was their hope, right? That was the end of their hope. Joshua took all that land. They did all that fighting, and he doled it out. This was their inheritance, and the land rested from war. Now, we're pretty much done reading. But chapter 12 is the summary of what they did, the summary of who they killed, who Joshua smote, Verse 1 says, these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote. He started in verse 2 with Sihon. You remember him? Verse 4 was Og. That's who Rahab heard about in all of Jericho, and their hearts melted within them because you slew those two kings, Sihon and then Og. And then in verse 9, he said, the king of Jericho won, killed one king in Jericho. The king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, won, killed one king there. And then he lists all of those kings. And at the end of verse 24, it says, all the kings, 30 and one. 31 nations. God killed 31 nations of people for the sake and the inheritance of his children. 31 nations of people. And men stand up and say, God doesn't hate anybody. God loves everybody. 31 nations of people. He said in Isaiah 43, I have given men for thee. He said, people for thy life. Fear not. Fear not. Now, right here is the fulfillment of God's covenant. Okay? Here's our hope. Here's our hope right here. Look with me at chapter 11, verse 19. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. They were the only ones. All other they took in battle. I want the same hope. And I want the same covenant that Gibeon had. Don't you? Don't you? God is coming through. I can't help but think about the masses. I can't help. This is my career, if I can say it that way. This is what I do. And in preaching this message, in the desire to spread this message to every single person who will listen to it, I cannot help but think about the masses. The masses and masses and masses of people that our Joshua is going to destroy. It's real. It's very real to me. Joshua is coming through. And it's going to be masses and masses. It is literally going to be nations upon nations upon nations. We mentioned this recently, and it's true. People say, well, this is a bloody gospel. This is a bloody end. This is a bloody end. And there's only one hope. All of that we just read proves to us that man has one hope. We are all the enemy of God. He's coming through to slay his enemy. That's it. We have one hope. Gibeon was just as much the enemy as the rest of them. And we have one hope. I want the same hope, and I want the same covenant that Gibeon had. Now, this right here today is our hope. I told you we'd go back. Look back with me at chapter 10, verse 4. Chapter 10, verse 4. All these kings said, come up to me and help me that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua. That's the only hope a sinner has. How did Gibeon make peace with Joshua? How did Gibeon make peace with Joshua? The answer is in chapter 9, verse 15. It says, Joshua made peace with them. That's how Joshua made peace with them. That is the only way a sinner can have peace with God. That's the only way. The Lord Jesus Christ has to make peace for that sinner. And in the same way that Gibeon cried out to Joshua, here come their enemies. And I tell you what my enemies are. My sin. I cry, Lord, help me. This old wicked flesh. My adversary. Lord, save us. Save us, please. But in the same way Gibeon cried out to Joshua, here they come. please come quickly. Help us. Save us. Don't leave us. In the same way that it said Joshua immediately, as soon as he got news, immediately, he could have left them alone. Do you remember in that story that they came to realize they lied to us? You remember that? They lied to us. All Joshua had to do was stay in his place and they would have been wiped out. And he wouldn't have had to worry about them anymore. Done with them. That's what God should have done to me. Just leave me alone. But as soon as Joshua heard their cry, Joshua ascended from Gilgal. And in the same way Joshua did that, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended from His throne. I love in the book of Daniel. Daniel is begging God. He's pleading to God. They're in bondage. They were in bondage 70 years. And Daniel's seeing the sin of his people and he's begging God. And it says before he was finished praying, the command came forth from the throne of God. And he sent the angel down and the angel said, God heard your prayer and he's answered you even though you haven't finished asking. And that's what Christ did for us. He ascended from His throne. He came all the way down into the heart of the battle. And God was in Him reconciling His people to Himself. He came down here and He slew every enemy. I mean, He slew every enemy. Look with me back at chapter 10. This is just amazing. This is so amazing. Verse 6 says, the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I've delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon and smote them to Azekah and into Makeda. Now watch this. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. They're running. Joshua's chasing them and fighting with them, and they're running. And God said, you're not going anywhere. If God be for us, who can be against us? That enemy started running and God just threw hail on them. The next time it hails, you remember that came directly out of God's hand. More men died from the hail that God threw on them than the sword of the children of Israel. God does not need for us to fight His battles. The battle is the Lord's. Isn't that great? The battle is the Lord's. Now we're almost finished. Verse 12 says, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, now watch this. He said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Aelon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? That's a historical record that was kept. He's saying, is that not in your local library? That's in the history books. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Why did the Lord hearken to that man? Because of who that man represents. There is not one thing in heaven, there is not one thing in earth that can stop Joshua from winning the victory for his people. Not one thing. Joshua just finished slaying one army right there, and here come the Amorites. And Joshua said in the sight of all the children of Israel, so everyone can hear, he pointed up and he said, "Son, stand still. Don't you move one inch until I finish slaying every single enemy." I'm sure it was high noon. It says it was in the midst of the heavens, right in the center of the heavens. And that sun stayed right there for 12 hours or 24 hours, whatever they consider to be a whole day. Verse 14 says, "There was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel." This whole account is pointing us to a day when our captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, fought with every single one of our enemies. It was on the day of that precious cross. God the Father said, "Son, stand still." And I love how he said, "Stand still on Gibeon. You stand still on that enemy right there that I've made a covenant with. You shine on them while I finish this battle." And God the Father said, "Son, stand still." And God the Son said, "Father, forgive them." And the glorious news of our redemption is God Almighty listened to the voice of the God-man. He forgave His people in the blood of His Son, and Christ right there won the victory. He won the victory. There was no day like that before it, and there's never going to be another day like that again. And the reason is because that battle was fought once. Once. There will never be another battle ever again. There are no more enemies for God's people. No more enemies. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It's finished. The end of all conflict. It's finished. And Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. Here is our end. This is our end right here. Because of this hope and this covenant that we have. Okay, last verse. I close with this verse. Joshua 11, verse 23. Let's read it one more time. So Joshua took the whole land. Everything went to Joshua, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel. It all went to him, and he gave every bit of it out for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. It was over. It was over. Let's all stand together.